The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
It is the 4 o'clock hour, Bob Burney Live. It's 4 o'clock in Columbus, Ohio on AM 880 and 104.5 FM. It's the 4 o'clock hour in Tampa as well on Faith Talk 570 and 910. If you were not listening earlier, my name is Bob Burney. Bill Bunkley is away from the microphone for a few days. He and his family are on vacation, and I have the privilege of guest hosting, which we do occasionally. Love our Tampa audience as well. My wife and I spent some time in Tampa this past February and just loved it. We love the area. We love the Columbus area as well. So anyway, welcome and thank you for joining me. The telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, and that works anywhere in the continental United States, 877-262-5483. I love these stories about Israeli archaeology. I've never really put together a bucket list. I guess most people do. I never have. I have never put together a bucket list. I have been so privileged to do so many wonderful things, go to so many wonderful places. But anyway, if I were to put together a bucket list, I would like to go on an archaeological dig in Israel. That would just be so incredible. So I am not an expert. I'm not really a student of archaeology. I just enjoy these archaeological discoveries, particularly in the last 100 years. And here's another one. I usually find at least one or two of these a month and have for years. Here's the headline from the Jerusalem Post today. 3,000-year-old inscription bearing name of biblical judge found in Israel. All right, here's the story. In a recent archaeological discovery in the southern area of Israel, a piece of, an inscription on a piece of pottery includes the biblical name Jerubbaal. I probably slaughtered the pronunciation, but you probably don't know either. It's Gideon. If you're a student of Scripture, you know that Gideon was also called Jerubbaal or Jerubbaal or J-E-R-U-B-B-A-A-L in English. It's Gideon. They believe that this inscription dates from around 1100 BC, which would be just the right time for Gideon. This is the first time we have archaeological proof that there was a judge in Israel in that part of the country by this name. According to Yosef Garfinkel, professor and archaeologist from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, the name Jerubbaal is familiar from biblical tradition in the book of Judges as an alternative name for the judge Gideon. So once again, a portion of Scripture has been validated. And my listeners, they've heard me say this over and over again, and please forgive me for being repetitious, but this is, listen, folks, it's getting harder and harder for the skeptics. modern archaeology in Israel goes back probably 100 to 150 years. That's the modern period of Israeli archaeology. And in that last 100 to 150 years, there have been thousands and thousands and thousands, and I mean thousands of discoveries that relate to the Bible. A biblical character, a biblical place, a biblical story. And are you ready for this? To my knowledge, and if you have knowledge, you call and correct me, all right? To my knowledge, not one of those multiple thousands of discoveries that relate to a person, a place, a story in Scripture, not once has any of those discoveries contradicted one part of Scripture. No contradictions to Scripture. On the other hand, they have validated. All right, now, does this piece of pottery or whatever with the inscription of Gideon's name dated to the time that Gideon lived in Bible times, does this one discovery prove that the Bible is true? Of course not. But what if you have two discoveries that validate Scripture? What if you have 10? What if you have 100? What if you have 500? What if you have 5,000? What if you have 10,000? What if you have 20,000 discoveries and all? Now, hey, listen, not everything that is uncovered in Israel relates to the Bible, obviously. In fact, many things have nothing to do with the Bible, Bible stories, Bible, the history of Israel, but not necessarily related to the Bible. But there are tens of thousands in the last 100 to 150 years that have related to the Bible. And not one of them have contradicted anything recorded in Scripture. So one piece, it's exciting, but it doesn't prove a whole lot. But it's like a puzzle. If you have one piece, you have no idea what the picture is. If you have 10, 20, well, it depends on how big the puzzle is. If it's one of those big 1,000-piece puzzles, you could have 100 pieces, and you really can't get an idea of what the picture is in the puzzle. But if you got a 1,000-piece puzzle and you got 900 pieces, you know pretty much what the picture is going to be. And through all of these years, discovery after discovery, at site after site, has validated, verified. You know, there was a time when the skeptic said, oh, this David guy in the Bible, so much of the Bible is devoted to David. We don't have any archaeological evidence that he even exists. That was then. Go to Israel today, go to Jerusalem, not far from the Wailing Wall, and you find a huge excavation of the city of David. Now, let me just say this as we go into the break. Don't ever, ever be ashamed or embarrassed to say you believe the Bible. Don't ever be ashamed or embarrassed. Listen, archaeology is on your side. Science is on your side. Medicine is on your side. Truth is on your side. We are Bible believers.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Oh, there are strange ironies in the world today. In Cuba, the last couple of days, particularly over the weekend, The world has witnessed possibly some news media organizations are calling the protests in Cuba the largest protests in Cuban history against the communist regime. The protesters in over 32 different cities on the island of Cuba, over 32 cities, thousands and thousands and thousands of protesters went to the streets, marched throughout Cuba, particularly yesterday, crying out for freedom, medical care. Do you remember when Bernie Sanders pointed to Cuba as an example of medical care? Do you remember that? It's been quite some time ago, but Bernie Sanders, the avowed socialist, said, well, if you want to see what socialized medicine looks like, look at Cuba. Everybody gets the medical care that they need. It's free. And, well, that's some of the things that people are protesting in the streets about. But anyway, possibly the largest demonstrations, I mean, larger than going back to the 60s and the 50s, possibly the largest demonstrations in Cuban history, people demonstrating against the communist regime, demonstrating for freedom. They don't have food. They don't have medicine. The COVID thing is going crazy on the island. And get this. In the protests, it was common to see American flags flying as a symbol of freedom. Now, hang on. It was not unusual in these protests to see American flags being flown as a symbol of hope and freedom. Contrast the people of Cuba under a brutal communist regime flying American flags, holding American flags, displaying American flags as this is the kind of freedom we want. Contrast that with the statement tweeted out last week by the Utah chapter of Black Lives Matter. Have you heard this? This is from last week. The state chapter of Black Lives Matter tweeted this out. Well, it was actually the 4th of July weekend, so it wasn't just last week. It was the 4th of July weekend. Utah chapter of Black Lives Matter tweeted this, and I quote, "When we Black Americans see this flag, we know the person flying it is not safe to be around. When we see this flag, we know that the person flying it is a racist. When we see this flag, we know that the person flying it lives in a different America than we do. When we see this flag, we question your intelligence. We know to avoid you, it is a symbol of hatred." That was a statement released by the Utah chapter of Black Lives Matter over the 4th of July weekend. Is that not a bizarre, strange irony? That people in America are saying it's a symbol of hatred, and if you fly it, we question your intelligence. If you fly it, we are not safe to be around you. When we see this flag, we know the person flying it is a racist. Those are Americans saying that. And we have Cubans demonstrating. And listen, folks, most of you are smarter than the average bear, okay? You know that the sentiment Black Lives Matter is absolutely true. Yes, 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 1,000 times yes, Black Lives Matter. But the movement is Marxist, socialist, communist. It is. And if you don't believe me, just do a little bit of research. Don't believe me. Look at the people behind it. Look at what they believe. Now, some of the things they believe they have removed from their national website, like they want the destruction of the nuclear family. They removed that, but that's what they desire. Now, get this, and the wicked irony of this. The Black Lives Matter movement, not the sentiment, the movement wants America to embrace the kind of government that thousands of people took to the streets over this weekend in Cuba to overthrow. Now, let that sink in. Black Lives Matter wants to establish, and people like AOC, Bernie Sanders, Rashida Tlaib, the Squad, as they are called, they want America to adopt the same kind of government that has forced, multiplied thousands of people to take to the streets in Cuba because they're starving to death. They're dying because they can't get any medicine. They can't get medical care. And they find their hope in the America that the socialists in America want to destroy. And by the way, the White House has been silent until about an hour or so ago. Finally, President Biden released a statement, and he simply said, "We stand in support of the Cuban people and their desire for freedom." He did not condemn communism or socialism. He did not condemn the communist regime. He was silent on that. He just said, "We support the desire of the Cuban people for freedom." Really? Well, of course he didn't condemn it. He has a large number of people in his own party who embrace what the people of Cuba are trying to overthrow. And by the way, Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Senator Bernie Sanders, I checked just a few minutes ago, and so far, they have been completely silent about what's happening in Cuba. Well, how could they speak out about something that they embrace? Yeah. Several news organizations have reached out to the Squad and Senator Sanders for a comment on what's happening in Cuba. They have so far chosen to remain silent. Yeah. All right, hey, we need to take a break. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. Works in Ohio, works in Florida, 877-262-5483.